Starting hour number two. Welcome to the program. I'm Jim Rome, live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. If you missed hour number one, we had a big hour. I start off by talking about the absolute bleep show going on at the University of Tennessee involving their decision to hire Greg Schiano and then to back out when they saw the reaction on social media. Could not have been handled any worse. What a mess. Absolute bleep show. So I'm going to talk about how that was handled again, where that leaves them, who they can get, who would want that job, whether or not it's going to cost the AD his job, and where they go from here. Also, we talked about college football and what happened over the weekend. You've got the coaching carousel. Number one team goes down, number two team goes down, and there are going to be more changes between now and then with conference championships coming up too. Phillip Rivers came on last segment, and the reaction to him is amazing to me. Think about the way Phillip Rivers was seen early in his career. You know, and the guy was always extremely fiery, really competitive, and a guy that would get in your face, and a guy that would never, ever back down. And frankly, a guy who was not well-liked outside of San Diego. I think that's fair to say early in his career, because the guy was so fiery. The guy was so intense. The guy was so competitive, and he was good. And you could see where he was rubbing some people the wrong way. It's probably a better way to put it. He would rub people the wrong way. Now you look at him late in his career, and I'd be hard-pressed to find another guy that had more opponents around his own division who respected him like they do Phillip Rivers. I mean, check this out. This was not even hard for me to find. I go to Twitter, and immediately I start to hear from fans in and around the AFC West saying, yeah, you know what? He's not our guy, but I couldn't be more impressed. At Lincoln Grinch tweeted just that. As a Chiefs fan, I couldn't be more impressed with an opposing quarterback. Rivers is the man, and I always dread KC facing him. You gotta imagine, especially considering who you have under center right now. And nothing against Alex Smith, but he's not playing very well, is he? In fact, the Chiefs have a real problem at quarterback, which I want to get to a little bit later on. But that's a Chiefs fan saying, I could not be more impressed with an opposing quarterback. Anybody else around the AFC West want to pile on or jump in? Kurt Weiss tweets, got home at 9:20 a.m. and waited in my car just to hear Phillip Rivers' interview, and I'm a Broncos fan. I understand a Chargers fan staying in his car to listen to an interview, but a Broncos fan staying in his car to listen to the enemy? That's how much respect that guy has for Phillip Rivers. What's next? A Raider fan coming in here? Let's see. Still Normal tweets, this Raider fan has nothing but respect for Phillip Rivers. As long as he's in the game, you got to give the Chargers a chance. A Chiefs fan, a Raider fan, and a Bronco fan, all listening to Phillip Rivers and not changing the station when he came on, but staying to listen and then tweeting nothing but respect. Tells you how good of a player this guy is still and how good of a leader he is. And the Chargers have it turned around. And he gave a lot of credit to Anthony Lynn, and he deserves it too, for keeping that game or that team together. They were 0-4 and could have given up on the year, but didn't. And now they're right here. This is a team that was 0-4, and it looked like the same old Chargers. Good enough to be in a game late, only to find a way to lose it. Same old Chargers. And even Phillip Rivers admitted it was tough at 0-4, but they continued to believe.
We were in all those games. But start 0-4, I think you got to give credit to A. Lynn too. As far as I think it starts at the top, and he didn't flinch, he didn't panic, but yet he said, "Hey, we got to get this thing straightened out. Now we're 0-4. We don't have any more time to mess around." And the guys just kept playing because we believed we were right there. It wasn't one of those, man, we're terrible, and I don't know if we're gonna win a game. It was, well, if we can just find a way to win one game, then we know what we're capable of doing. We can get hot, and we've done that thus far, but. We still have a long way to go. I mean, we're excited, but we are sitting at 5-6, and we still are climbing out of that hole. But one game back with five to play and everything in front of us, we certainly have given ourselves a chance.
So if Phillip Rivers shows up like that for an interview, and he does every time he comes on this show, every time he's on this show, this cat is shot out of a cannon. If he shows up like that for an interview, what do you think that guy's like to work with, play with, practice with, train with, Sundays? Guy's got to be the best ever, right? Best teammate ever. Great leader. If he shows up like that for us, how do you think he shows up for his teammates and the coaching staff? And he's 14 years in. He is playing great. Let's keep it in the AFC West for a minute. Take advantage of the open phones. 1-800-636-8686. Open phones in hour number two. Take advantage of it. Going into yesterday's Denver-Oakland game, I think that three things were clear. The Broncos were circling the drain. The Raiders needed a win to stay alive. And Michael Crabtree had some unfinished business with Aqib Talib. Now, you recall that the Raiders receiver and the Broncos DB got into it in Week 17 last season. Remember, Talib ripped Crabtree's chain off his neck during that game. Remember that. You might also remember how Talib explained the move as, quote, "He's just been wearing that chain all year, and it's just been growing on me. I said if he wears that chain in front of me, I'm going to snatch it off. So he wore it in front of me, so I had to snatch it off," end quote. That's the way Talib saw it, that he didn't have a choice last year. If Michael Crabtree was going to wear a chain, he was going to snatch it off. That's just the way it is. Crabtree wore a chain. He snatched it off. I guess rules are rules, which means there was no way that there was not going to be payback for that. The only thing is, the sequel is rarely as good as the original. We all know that. It's typically like reheating old leftovers and hoping that it tastes okay. Except that was not the case this time. This was Godfather 2 to last year's Godfather. And just 3 minutes into yesterday's game, it was on. And by it, I mean this.
Moreland, Trishina line already. Into the pile he goes. Trying to dig his way. Wolf among them, a couple down there. And Pecco with his hands right around his ankles. Oh, we have a fight on the other side. Look at this. After Crabtree, helmets being thrown. Talib grabbed it off. Referee is down and look at holding on to his ribs.
That started with the block. That was Crabtree on Aqib Talib.
We have another one right here. Look at this.
This is crazy because now you're going to get ejected from the game. I mean, this is just selfish.
Wow.
Selfish. What you call selfish, I call awesome. Selfish, awesome, chaotic, whatever you want to call it. That was complete chaos. Now, it started with Crabtree blocking Talib down the field, off the field, into a cameraman, and then into another innocent bystander on the sideline. If it ended there, it probably would have been a 15-yard penalty against Crabtree. But maybe a message would have been sent. But it didn't end there because Talib was simply not going to accept that. Of course. Instead, it was only getting started. Talib then gets a reversal, and he's on top of Crabtree with more Broncos racing in. Bodies were flying. Punches were thrown. Helmets were bouncing. Penalty flags dotted the field. Guys chasing each other. Crabtree gets tossed, Talib gets tossed, and was escorted off the field by Marshawn Lynch. And then somewhere in the middle of that, Raiders lineman Gabe Jackson hit a referee, and he got tossed. Oh, and it looks like Talib might have gotten Crabtree's chain again. Maybe. Possibly. Probably. And as it turns out, it might not have even started on that play. Broncos Pro Bowler Chris Harris Jr. said Crabtree went after him the play before and he punched him in the stomach. Quote, "I have never seen that in the NFL. Today, he just came out wanting to fight. He didn't want to play football. It was the second play of the game. It was a run play. I was playing man. I wasn't even doing anything. He just came in there, was like, bam, hit me right in the middle of the stomach and I just lost my breath." End quote. Like, he didn't even want to play football. He just wanted to fight. Yeah, I'm not even totally sure what Crabtree was looking to do yesterday, but based on those two plays, I think he was looking to at least send a message and then take an early shower. Clearly, he will go, and he did. But let's take a step back. You hate to have something like that happen in a game, period. But if it is going to happen in a game, I want Kevin Harlan on the call because nobody describes insanity better than Kevin Harlan. Let's run that back one more time.
Trying to dig his way. Wolf among them, a couple down there. And Pecco with his hands right around his ankles. Oh, we have a fight on the other side. Look at this. After Crabtree, helmets being thrown. Talib grabbed it off. Referee is down and look at holding on to his ribs.
That started with the block. That was Crabtree on Aqib Talib.
We have another one right here.
Look at this.
Oh, and a swing right there.
This is crazy because now you're going to get ejected from the game. I mean, this is just selfish.
Wow.
Now, that's a masterpiece of announcing. And you can put yesterday's call right up there with this legendary moment.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
that
man.
Look out. Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue coat.
Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
No doubt. Unbelievable call. Or what about his trademark dunk call?
With no regard for...
With no regard for what, Alvin?
With no regard for human life!
That's what I thought. So the Raiders had to have that win, and they got it. And if they had to have that fight, we had to have Kevin Harlan call it. And we got that. And apparently you can add wearing a chain in an NFL game to our list of reasons to go. You spit in somebody's face, that's a reason to go. You insult somebody's race or religion, that's a reason to go. Somebody insults or threatens you or your loved ones, an absolute reason to go. And wearing a chain in an NFL game is a reason to go, or at least it is if you're Aqib Talib. One of the rare sequels that lived up to the original. And the Broncos have now lost seven straight. Raiders still alive. 1-800-636-8686. What do you want to hit on? Pick a topic, pick a game, pick anything you want. It's an amazing weekend, a long weekend, and a great weekend. Still ahead, the Bills and the Chiefs. Ohio State beats Michigan. Jim Harbaugh loses again. And the only story there is that it's not a story at all. And I do want to talk about the Rams coming up with a huge win over the Saints. And we'll talk about the NFC. All of that still ahead. William McGinnis coming up next hour.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Today is a great day to get involved. Maybe today's the day that you actually pick up the phone and you make that call for the first time. You've been thinking about it. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I know what's going to happen if I do that. I'm going to misstep, misspeak. The clones will kill me. It's not worth it. I'm going to lay out. But man, I always want to call that show. Do it. Pick up the phone. Lob us a call. Do it today. The reason today is such a good day is because we're coming off an amazing weekend, a long weekend. NFL, college football, NBA. So many things to cover. Today is the day. Pick up the phone. Make that call. We are moving later on this week. I'm hyped up on that. Sad to leave the studio that we've been in for the better part of a decade, but we got a brand new studio, and the reason we're getting a brand new studio is this show takes to television on January 2nd, next year, on CBS Sports Network. Finally, we are going to televise this show, and not the first hour or the last hour, but all 3 hours. Make sure you have CBS Sports Network. Make sure it's carried by your system. Make sure you have that show. We're coming online on January 2nd. We're going to move into the new studio this week and start broadcasting this show, the radio show from that studio, but we will be broadcasting on television on January 2nd. Keep that in mind. All right, I want to talk about Ohio State beating Michigan again. Jim Harbaugh losing to a rival again. That's coming up in a few minutes, but first, let's go to the phones. Seattle, Tyler. Good to have you, Tyler. What's up?
Hey, Romy. Thanks for the vine. Quickly, want to thank you for the Charger love, man. Jungle Karma's been treating us so well. I want to get into my take. You know, I got a short one about San Diego so-called fans. You know, back in election months, back in November, Spanos gave y'all a shot to keep the team with that city funding vote. 30% is sad, man. That was more sad than 4-12 and 5-11. You know what? I'm glad he ripped the team from you guys, man. L.A. might have some better fans. Time will tell. You know what? If you're a true fan, you're going to stick with the team. I want to war Matt in L.A. I'm not here to rip on clones. I love clones. I am a clone. The war Matt in L.A. and unwar people who don't war Matt in L.A. Jim, I'm out. Catch up later.
Tyler in Seattle, rack him. Y'all rack him. I mean, who else is going to war Matt in L.A.? Tyler in Seattle just did. And he cracked the Charger fans for not doing more to keep their team in town. Again, Charger fans, I'm asking for your thoughts. Now, what I did say was, if you're a Charger fan in San Diego, what do you think about what you've seen? They lost their first four. They're 5-2 since October 2nd. What I didn't mention is the schedule is setting up beautifully. Four of their final five games are against teams with losing records. How about this? They were four games out of first after four games, and now they're only one game back at Kansas City, who does not look good at all, and they've got five games to play. And they've got Cleveland, winless Cleveland, coming to L.A. this weekend. And there is so much to like about the Chargers. So if you're a Charger fan in San Diego, how's this feel? Are you starting to forgive? Maybe never forget, but are you starting to fall in line? Are you starting to feel like a Charger fan once again? Or seeing them do what they do in Los Angeles, is that only making it harder? Is it pissing you off even more? And not to look ahead, they've got Cleveland next. They do have a game in Kansas City, week 15. Bottom line, this is not the same team that they were earlier in the season. And looking at that schedule, Cleveland, Washington, Oakland, a road game against the Jets on Christmas Eve. Man, it looks good. They're right there. They've given themselves a shot. Let's go to San Diego. Connor, you're next. Connor, good morning. How are you? What's up?
Epic. Thanks, Romy. Yeah, you're right. We do have Cleveland next, and that is a really concerning matchup, being that I am a lifelong Charger fan. I've seen that story before. But, yeah, that last caller had a really sweet take. Yeah, I really like L.A. fans are going to be better than San Diego fans. Yeah, they got a great track record of showing up late and leaving early to the teams that they're so loyal to. But, yeah, real quick, Rome, down here in SD, it's a civil war. Half my lifelong Charger friends are now Raider fans. I went to a wedding. My buddy I've known since kindergarten. I roll up to the house we have, and he's just decked out in Raider gear. I didn't have much to say to that. So they're all defectors, and we've moved on. But I'm still loyal to my soil. I'm sticking with the Charger fans, and I'm sticking with the Chargers, and the Spanoses are still rats. You know, they're still kooks. Thanks for the vine. Late.
Got to rack him, too. Got to rack him, too. The Spanos are, quote, still rats and still kooks. Listen, I have to hear from a Charger fan that jumped ship and became a Raider fan. It's not like the Raiders are tearing it up right now either. In fact, the Raiders are one of the bigger disappointments in the NFL this year. But I got to hear. I want to hear from a legitimate, and don't waste my time. Don't troll. Don't come in here with nothing better to do. I mean, I want to hear from a legitimate Charger fan that was so furious, that was so mad, that they said, you know what, screw it. Not only am I going to burn my gear, not only am I never, ever going to root for the team that's pretty much run my entire life. Not only am I not doing that anymore because they stab me in the heart and the back and the head, I'm going to the other side. I'm a Raider fan right now. Listen, I've done this show for a quarter of a century. I got my first big break in San Diego. I lived in San Diego. I saw that thing up close. There's a lot of great rivalries around the NFL, but Chargers v. Raiders is about as vitriolic as it gets. Charger fan hates Raider fan. Charger fan hates the Raiders. I mean, I really want to hear from a Charger fan who says to me, the only thing I hated more than the Raiders was the fact that they screwed us and moved to L.A., so therefore I'm now a Raider fan. Again, I can see where maybe you'd never forgive the Spanoses. I can see where maybe you'd never want to wear or rep the Chargers ever again. Never mind that it's not the player's fault. But can you really tell me that you went to the other side? That guy just said half my friends are Raider fan now. Not that one kook in the group. Not that one guy who's just doing it to troll. Half his friends are Raider fans. So I'm just asking, Charger fan, are you now a Raider fan? And you got to explain to me how that is or why that is. And if that's the case, I can't imagine you feel any better about yourself. Not with the Chargers playing as well as they are and the Raiders having the trouble that they're having right now. And if the Raiders are having that kind of problem, what's that tell you about the Broncos and how bad they are, having lost seven straight? Like I'm saying, This is the time to get on the phone and make the call. This is not that hard. Not as hard as you're making it. Let's keep it in San Diego. Jeff in San Diego. Jeff, what's going on? How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Rome. How are you, sir?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
Lifelong Charger fan, born and raised. I was born at the top of the hill from Jack Murphy Stadium. The Raiders suck and the Chargers do still rule. Gene Klein would be rolling in his grave right now if he understood what's going on. The Chargers, I loved your Philip Rivers interview a little bit ago. The Chargers are going to win out. We might lose in the first round of the playoffs. This goes out to the Detolas. This goes out to Raider Mike. This goes out to Ira Craig. This goes out to everyone. Chargers rule. Raiders suck. Good night, Al.
You know, because he's old school, I'll rack him too. Have we ever racked three calls in a row? Did we just do that, Alvin? Did that just happen? Did we go back to back to back? I don't think we've ever racked three calls in a row. Yeah, Rome, I don't know that we've ever racked two calls in a row. I don't know that I've ever racked a call. Yeah, Rome, great. Except that none of the three deserve to get racked. According to whom? The host of the show says yes. He just went old school with it. Chargers rule. Raiders suck. Good night now. That's a throwback to the knife. I'm telling you, they're good. They're good. Good offensive balance. They've got a couple of great bookend rushers in Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, who is a terror. You've got Philip Rivers, who's playing as well as he's ever played. He's got weapons to make use of, and he is. They can run it. They can air it out. I love the way they're playing right now. So I'm just trying to get a sense. If you're in San Diego, and especially if you're listening on our affiliate down there, 1090, when you see them playing as well as they are and doing it in Los Angeles / Carson, does it make you think, you know what? Life is way too freaking short. I'm a Charger fan. I grew up a Charger fan. I'm still a Charger fan. Or does it only piss you off and are you reaching for Raider gear? Step it up. Let's get it. William McGinnis coming up at the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll talk some more college ball, too. I want to bounce back and forth. Michigan beaten again by the Ohio State. And they came back from 14 down to do them in their own house. My thoughts on that next. Don't go anywhere. Or, by the way, if I'm just going to rack call after call after call, maybe I won't get to what I want to get to. I've always said more of me and less of you is better for the program, but if I'm racking every single phone call, maybe that's not true. Pick up the phone, hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. In the meantime, here's a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Why pay more for annual protection motor oil when you can get Castrol Edge extended performance for less? It goes 15,000 miles between oil changes. Titanium strong Castrol Edge, more than just an oil. It is liquid engineering. Now, you're probably asking yourself, did I really hear some dude wore matte in L.A.? Or was that just a bad dream? Am I still drunk? Am I hungover? Is this something that happened over the long weekend? Did that happen? Or did I just dream that? You ever have those moments like, did that really happen? Or is that something I just dreamt? No, that really happened. Somebody who was not matte in L.A. called and wore Matt in L.A.
Wore Matt in L.A. and unwore people who don't wore Matt in L.A.
Tyler in Seattle wore Matt in L.A. And there's been reaction. At Mike D for three tweets, good to hear from Matt in L.A.'s brother-in-law. At Allen in Raleigh tweets, wore Matt in L.A. I thought I'd never hear those words. Sincerely, wore Ira and wore John in Little Rock. At Pauly T. Wall tweets, wore Matt in L.A. having his cousin, Tyler in Seattle, lob a call.
Wore Matt in L.A.
Whoever, whatever it was, whoever it was, Tyler in Seattle, wore Matt in L.A. It's a true story. And trust me, the call will be out. The bat signal will be out. Matt in L.A. will respond soon enough, I'm sure. In the meantime, we've gone back to back to back. I posed the question, have we ever racked three phone calls in a row? Have we ever even racked two phone calls in a row? Have I ever saved a phone call in the history of this show? Have I ever racked one? Can we make it four? Listen, let me just say this. There's a lot of pressure on the next call, whoever that call is. If you're on hold right now, this is kind of like the airline saying, do you know you're seated next to the exit, the emergency exit seat? Do you want to stay there? Are you comfortable with that? Can you execute whatever comes along with that? Do you want that seat? Ask yourself, if you're on hold right now, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to come to you next. There's only so many lines that are lit. Do you want to be the guy to kill the streak? We've had three in a row. Ask yourself that. I want to see if anybody hangs up. I'm looking at it right now. If you're on hold, do you think that you can get racked? If you're not sure whether or not you can, you can't. Hang up right now. And then call back. Just don't be the guy to kill the streak. We've had three in a row. So I'm going to wait. Think about that. If you're listening right now, if you're on hold, do you think that you're going to be the one to kill the streak? If so, hang up right now. We've gone three in a row. No one's hanging up. Nobody is hanging up. Let's do this. We go to San Bernardino. Javier, you're next. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Jimmy?
What's up, Javier?
Hey, so I'm a longtime Charger fan. I just started listening to your show recently. Absolutely love it. Got addicted to your podcast. But I'm a Chargers fan. I've been a lifelong Chargers fan for a long time, since I was pretty young. And so I went to that Raiders and Chargers game last year. So I'm talking about the Chargers movie. Okay, so I walk into this stadium, and I'm giving the Chargers a fair 10% Chargers fans, 90% Raiders fans. So if I'm an owner and I walk into a stadium like that, you're not supporting my team. The other team's fans are killing the stadium. So how can you be upset as San Diego fans that he decided to pull the team and move away? Now you guys want to burn jerseys? Now you guys want to be fans? All of a sudden, where were you at when 1-15, 3-13 season? When we were absolutely terrible. You know what I mean? That's my take on it is, hey, you know what? Do what you got to do. Take your franchise. Move somewhere else. I'll still be a fan and follow them to the day I die. Charger Nation, baby, all the way.
All right, so what do I do with Javier? I'm going to rack him. It's a guy with a take, man. A strong take. A straight take. We're rack 4 him. For 4. Clones are showing me something on this Monday. I love it. Javier, nice job. And I'm amazed that I've done this as long as I've done this, and that's a guy who just said, I'm new to your program. I'm a huge fan of your podcast. Like 25 years later, that guy's just now finding me, which pumps me up. And somebody else saying, hey, Charger fan. All right, now, I'm paraphrasing what two callers have said in the last half hour. Hey, Charger fan, it's not on the Spanoses, it's on you. You didn't support that team, so he left. San Diego Charger fan, how's that taste? I mean, I know you don't agree with that. How's that feel? What do you think about that? Those are two Charger fans. Now, one was in Seattle, and one was in San Bernardino. But Charger fans, not like Chiefs fans, or Bronco fans, or Raider fans, or anybody else saying, hey, it's your own fault. Those are Charger fans saying it's our fault. Speaking of the podcast, episode 15 drops tomorrow. It's going to be with Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey is going to be my guest, and I'm going to tape that a little bit later on. Now, because we had a long holiday weekend, you may have forgotten to call the voicemail, or maybe you thought to yourself, if the guy threatens to rip the voicemail segment every single week, I'm not going to call. Why should I? It's probably not there. Believe it or not, it's still there. How it's still there, I have no idea. We've actually had a slight bit of momentum. It's been a little bit less horrible the last couple of weeks, so it's been able to survive. The plug is still on the wall. Take advantage of it. Write this number down. Put this number in your phone. This is the voicemail, not for this show, but only for the podcast. 949-385-0447. Maybe you're not comfortable calling this show. Maybe you don't have enough confidence to call this show. Hit the voicemail. 949. It's a direct dial right into my office. If I'm there, I will even pick up. Ask anybody who has spoken to me off air. 949-385-0447. Have a take. Keep it tight. Notice that when I've played these calls back, it's never been a minute-long message. It's never even been a 30-second message. Be tactical. Be smart about this. Think about what you want to say and get to it. the best ones, the tightest ones, get played back tomorrow for podcast 15, episode 15. Write this number down, put it in your phone, 949-385-0447. Albie, do you have a couple of the old school ones? If you want to get a sense of what it takes to get in, when I have them for you, I'll play them for you. In the meantime, we're running some amazing streak right here. The last four calls have been racked. Is there any way we make it five? Hey, listen, I'm not trying to stack the deck. I'm not looking to fix this thing. I'm not looking to manipulate the competition in any way. But look, this is a good thing. I want to keep it going, right? So if you're me, wouldn't you look at that call screen and think to yourself, who's the best call there? Who has the best chance of extending this streak? Who has the best chance of extending the streak, and are they on topic? And what's been the biggest topic this hour? Well, the Chargers, playing as well as they are in Charger fan, but there's been one topic slightly ahead of that, and that's the fact that Matt in L.A. got Ward. That's the topic of the hour. So if that's the topic of the hour, what call should I take? Matt in L.A., of course. Let's go to Matt in L.A. My man's got to be having a big day, coming off a huge weekend. Somebody warned him publicly for the first time ever. Let's go to Los Angeles. Matt, what's going on, brother?
Romeo, the sun is shining. Thanks for the vine. Shout out to my cousin, Tyler in Seattle, the best jungle rep not named Matt in L.A. But second off, Romeo, you touched on one thing. A great weekend. And that great weekend came because of your show, The Jungle. So I got to give you props, Mr. Jim Rome, and one Mr. Joseph Vendetta, a.k.a. the Clint Eastwood in the box, the sub pimp when you are out, as you should be. Thank you. I witnessed the best damn show I've ever seen in my life, bro. Better than Cypress Hill, better than Ice Cube or Tina Marie in their primes. And that was Guns N' Roses, baby. Guns N' effing Roses at the Forum. Romy, it was off the hook, dude. My ears were ringing for hours. And thanks to The Jungle, man, hey, all of you clones could do this. Just have a take and don't suck. The real jungle legends were out there. Duff, Slash, Axel, bringing that heat like a bonfire, yo. Hey, so to get on the other topic, Romy, Raiders in San Diego. Hey, it's a collision course. The Civil War of the Jungle, old school, like everybody was saying. But you know what? I got a lot of respect for San Diego fans that ride with them. I have no respect for those that jump ship. Unless you go to Raiders gear, then you get love. But, hey, man, San Diego fan, you got to look yourself in the mirror. There were plenty of chances for you guys to get a new stadium made. Yeah, the Spanos might be a goat herder and all that crap, but you know what? He gave you guys multiple chances. So, unwar Scott and Billy Ray pushing Charger fans.
Matt.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Oh, Matt, if you had ended that thing sooner, we'd make it 5-for-5. All right, now understand that when I broke him off, it was right before he went unwar Scott and Billy Ray pushing. That's not why he got run. Although, what are you doing taking a run at Scott and Billy Ray, right? 1090's finest. One of the best shows in America. They've sat in this very studio. In fact, not only have they sat in this very studio, damnedest thing, since we're packing up all our crap to get ready for the move, Billy Ray, bro, I found one of your Mac adapters for your laptop, brother.
Brother.
I've got it, man. I think I still have it. What do we do with that thing? I gave it to Hawk. And how do I know it was Billy Ray's? Because it had his name on it. That's smart. Problem is, I saw Hawk dumping a bunch of liquid paper on it and putting his own name on it. Come on, Hawk. If you need an adapter, man, I'll hook you up. Anyway, BR, my man, I've got your adapter here. Or Hawk has your adapter. Hit him up. So, no, I didn't run Matt because he took a run at those two guys, although he should not be taking a run at those two guys. I just ran him because he went too long. See, Matt was feeling it. Matt was feeling it, and understandably so, because some dude warned him. Who would have ever thought that that would have happened on this show?
And unwar people who don't war Matt in L.A.
And unwar people who don't war Matt in L.A. The streak is over at 4. They'll never be broken. It's kind of like Johnny Vandermeer throwing back-to-back no-hitters. That will never, ever be broken. Maybe somebody will throw back-to-back no-hitters, but nobody will ever throw three in a row. Four jungle calls racked in a row will never, ever happen in a non-smack-off day ever again. Or better yet, it might happen, but that record will never be broken. We'll never get five. And Matt had it. Matt had it. It's kind of like getting a first down, but then running backwards to get more yardage, and then not getting the first down. Van Smack, just waiting for Tyler to de-war Matt in L.A. Signed, Tom in Colorado Springs. I don't know. It's his guy. I don't think he will. That'd be like Tennessee hiring Greg Schiano or committing in a memorandum to hire Greg Schiano and then deciding not to hire Greg Schiano. If you're going to hire the guy, do it the right way. If you're going to hire the guy, do your due diligence. It goes back to the conversation we had with Andy Staples. And you see this all the time. Whenever a school or a team or any entity whatsoever wants to hire somebody and they're not sure, you know, it's not a slam dunk hire, they run a trial balloon out there. And the way they do that is they leak the story to somebody. They leak the speculation to somebody. It becomes a trial balloon. Then they can base their decision, at least in part, on the reaction that they see. Had they done that with Schiano, they would have known that there was no way their fan base was having it. Or better yet, social media was not having it. But they didn't do that. And why would they not do that with a guy like that? You might argue, because there were a lot of others involved that wanted to get to him first. Wrong answer. Apparently nobody was trying to get to this guy but Tennessee. So why were they in such a rush? Why were they in such a hurry? Only thing that I could think of is they couldn't get anybody else who they wanted, and they knew it was a bad look, so they wanted to get somebody in there and say, oh no, we've got our candidate, we've got our guy. And their guy was Schiano, and it could not have gone any worse. But if that is your guy and that's your hire, then do your freaking due diligence and then stand by that hire. If you're going to hire him, and I'm not saying he is the right guy, far from it. There are lots of reasons not to hire that guy. Even above and beyond what may or may not have happened at Penn State, there are a lot of reasons not to hire that guy. But if you're going to hire that guy, stand behind it. And they didn't, and now it's a complete bleep show. 1-800-636-8686. All right, programming update. My man William McGinnis is stuck on a flight, so we cannot get him on the phone, which means the top of hour number three is open to you. And I hate to lose William McGinnis, but one, it's not his fault. And two, if we're going to, I hate to lose him because he's one of my favorites, but if we have to lose him, it may as well be on a day when we've got tremendous caller momentum and I've got takes coming out my back. That's a good opportunity for you. Keep it going. Also coming up in hour number three, Ohio State over Michigan again. I want to hit that. I want to talk about some of the other things that happened. Auburn beats Alabama. Is Alabama out? And is Auburn going to find a way in? Oklahoma might be the team to beat right now overall. All of that's still ahead. And I'm feeling good about the phone calls. You talk about a getaway week. This is our ultimate getaway week into a brand new studio sometime this week. ATP coming up next hour. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.